On Monday, we had started talking about phases of matter, and we ended up with gases, because gases is the principal subject of this first chapter. And we just got to start talking about properties of gases, I believe. In fact, let me just back up and make sure how far did we really get. Ah, that's right. We ended up talking about the ideal gas law and then molecular energy distribution. So, let's start with the ideal gas law today here. If you've taken introductory chemistry, you probably had an introduction to some of the historical development of gas laws. And so you know there's a lot of individually named gas laws, like Boyle's Law, Charles Law. I personally don't care about the names. That's not to belittle scientists, it's just I'm focused on the science. And that when we can talk more about scientists or how chemistry has a context in culture, we'll do it where we can. But, oh my gosh, we got so much else we got to do that we got to stick to that for the moment. So, long story short, we end up with PV equals NRT, which does describe an ideal gas, which, section two, we're going to talk about what ideal gases are in the afternoon. So here in lecture for the moment, I'm going to pass over talking about what an ideal gas is. What I want to talk about is this relationship that I've got written down here, PV equals NRT. And I want to talk about this in two different types of problems. Imagine that we have a balloon filled with some form of gas. Could just be normal air. Let's say, opposed to that, we have a metal box. Now, don't overthink the problems. But what I mean by that is, when I say that we have a balloon, I mean that we have, yes, a flexible container, something where the size of the container can change. So in other words, it's going to be something that has variable volume. And when I say metal box, then yes, I mean something that is rigid and therefore, under most circumstances, would not have its volume change. So we're going to call that fixed volume. And when I say don't overthink the problems, yes, in real life, you blow a balloon up too much, it's going to pop. Or yes, you know, if it's a really durable material, it's going to have some kind of resistance to being blown up at some point. And we're going to ignore all that. It's a flexible container. And then for the metal box, of course, if you're doing something Mythbusters style, you can either implode or explode a box. But let's say that we're talking about reasonable circumstances. So when I say metal box, that means fixed volume. All right? So before we get going, though, with what I'm going to present, I need to make one statement. That all gas problems must be worked in Kelvin only. And there isn't an exception to this. And the reason why is you're probably familiar with the fact that Kelvin is an absolute scale, meaning it has a physically defined zero, and then it has a set way that temperature is expressed otherwise. Celsius is related to Kelvin. The size of a degree Celsius is the size of a Kelvin. But, of course, 0 degrees Celsius is the freezing point of water under normal circumstances. But imagine that you had some kind of relationship like this, where you throw in zero for temperature. That means you have no volume, you have no pressure. How can you have a substance that has no volume, for example? Now, what happens at absolute zero? We're not worried about that. because this is not a course about that kind of chemistry. So in other words, we need a temperature scale that makes physical sense. And the only one that makes sense is Kelvin. Now, pressure can be in different units. Volume can be in different units. And that's why we have this fudge factor R, which a lot of these things I'm talking about, presuming you've had chemistry before, because that's how you're supposed to have gotten into 1A. So hopefully you all know that this is a gas constant, which the value of the constant depends on the units. And some of you might already be programmed to say 0.082059 or however many digits you learned. Of course, you're going to have open notes, so you don't have to memorize that right now, but I'm just pointing out what R is. It is that constant. So, what I want to talk about is problems where we change conditions like changing the pressure, or changing the volume, or changing the temperature, and see what's going to happen in both of these cases, with the balloon and with the metal box. Now, for section one, I'm going to repeat something that came up in lab this morning. Because when we're talking about these problems, I want to talk about it from a physical standpoint, where we try to understand on a molecular basis why things change when we change pressure or temperature or volume, but then we have to be able to do the math as well. And so what I'm going to show you next is a manipulation, a changing of this ideal gas law to handle situations like this. Like, let me just give you a problem so we're not just talking totally in abstract. We got some direction to this whole discussion. So I'll call this problem, if I can spell right, wow, problem one. Let's say that you have a balloon and you put it in the freezer. The inside and the outside of a freezer should be roughly the same pressure because whatever system that's going on, think about it. When you open up the fridge, you're not like pulling with all your might to open the vacuum that's there because the fridge is under lower pressure. And the same thing, you don't usually have a hinge that has to hold the fridge closed because otherwise it pops open. The pressure on the inside and the pressure on the outside are the same. So let's say you take a balloon and put it into the freezer. What's going to happen? Shrink. Yes. So we're going to get to why. But first I'm going to talk about the math. But at least I'm giving you a problem so you understand what's going on. Imagine a balloon is filled to a size of 1 liter. And, okay, let's just get this. Wow, okay, some of you are already chiming in with what the answer is. And yes, we'll get to that. Very good. But let me address this right now. I'm supposed to care about sig figs, and I don't. So everybody relax. Now, I say that. There are times where you might have points taken off for sig figs, even though I technically don't care about them. One of those situations would be, suppose that you overly round something. If you can think back to Chem 1A, to your elemental analysis problems, which means you have certain percent carbon, certain percent hydrogen, and you want to calculate their empirical and molecular formulas. If you round off too much, you can end up totally getting the answer wrong. You need a certain level of precision in order to be able to answer some of those problems. So you might have points taken off if you excessively round. Now, on the other hand, if you do a calculation and I give you something like let's just be generous. Let's say that I give you 3 sig figs, pretending we're going to care about 3 sig figs. If you give me any answer that's got 20 sig figs in it, it's not correct because you don't have that information to start with. Now, a lot of times I'll ignore that, but no, there might be times where, again, you might lose points for that. So reasonable use of sig figs is what I'm going to say the rule is for this class. So here we go. Imagine a balloon is filled to a size of 1 liter, at 25 degrees Celsius. I know I said Kelvin, but I can give it to you in Celsius and then we deal with it later. So at 25 degrees Celsius at 1 atmosphere pressure. And then placed in a freezer at, let's say, negative 10. I don't know exactly what a standard freezer is at. I should know that. Let's say it's negative 10. What will be the size of the balloon? And the pressure in the balloon. Okay? So, let me back up and say this. If you haven't seen it, the notes have been posted for Monday. If you go there and you think they're not there, hit refresh on your browser. I don't have control over the website, and for some reason, there's an error where sometimes even once I post things, it makes it look like it hasn't been updated, but it really has. The notes really are there. So if you go there and see nothing, just hit refresh. But I was about to say, the notes are getting posted. I do have the website up and running, and they'll get posted even more quickly than they were this first round. But if you would like to take your screenshots before I move on, go ahead now. And also, if you have any questions before I move on. Okay, so looking at the chat window, someone did already give me the answer, which I will eventually get to. But let's address different parts of this problem. So imagine we have this balloon and we put it in the freezer. What will the size of the balloon be? Well, first of all, what about this business of even filling it to 1 liter? Because a sub-question is going to be, what is the pressure inside of the balloon when it is first filled? So can someone answer that for me? One atmosphere. That's correct. And why? Because a balloon is flexible. And so whatever the pressure is on the outside is going to equal to the pressure on the inside. Because imagine that the two were different than each other. If the pressure on the outside were bigger, it would squeeze the balloon in. But as the balloon gets squeezed, then it has less surface area. Pressure is force over area. So if you're reducing area, the pressure goes up. And so that balloon will then change size until it reaches the point where the pressure inside and outside are equal to each other. So let me write exactly all that out, what I just said. Let me just try a color out. No, that's too light. Okay, 1 second. Let's do that. There we go. I'm sorry, I'm just hung up on how to word it correctly. Give me 1 moment. The size of a balloon will automatically change so that the pressure is inside and outside the balloon. Are equal to each other. And suppose that the pressure outside was greater than inside. That's the next part of the story I told. I'm sorry, I'm writing it backwards, I think, or maybe I said it backwards. What I meant to say was, suppose the pressure outside the balloon was greater than inside. Well, the outside pressure would literally crush or squeeze the balloon. Causing it to shrink. And as I was saying before, this causes the surface area inside the balloon to decrease. Causing the pressure inside the balloon to increase. And just as a reminder, that comes from force being pressure over area. So if area goes down, then force goes up. I wrote that totally backwards. That's what happens when you don't sleep right. Pressure is force over area. And so as area goes down, pressure goes up. There we go. So, this continues, this whole process of the balloon shrinking but the pressure inside increasing. This process continues until the pressure inside and outside the balloon are equal. And that's why when you originally fill the balloon up, the pressure inside the balloon is one atmosphere. Because if it wasn't, it would change size until it was, because the surrounding pressure was one atmosphere. So maybe this is a lighter color, but let me just try this out. Because that is the surrounding pressure. Okay. Any questions about this page? So take your screenshots if you want. Now let me back up to give us context again. Remember, what this all started out as was me wanting to talk about the ideal gas law and talking about problems involving the ideal gas law. And then I rambled for a little bit, but then I said, you know, we should have a problem to talk about because that'll make this whole discussion make more sense. So the problem is we're going to take a flexible volume container, a balloon, and we're going to start at one temperature and pressure and end up at another temperature, but the same pressure. And so that's the next point that I want to make, which is this. In this problem, it is assumed that the pressure inside and outside of the freezer are the same. So it didn't occur to me until just now, but not that I'm encouraging people to get out of their shelter in place, but if somehow you got a hold of a balloon, you can always try this at home to see that this is true. You fill the balloon up, whatever amount, put it in the freezer, wait for a while, go back and look and see what happens. Okay, so now let's talk about what's going to go on inside. Because way earlier back, as I was talking about this problem, someone chimed in and said that the volume's going to shrink, and the person said, because the molecules will have less energy to bounce off the walls of the balloon, which is exactly right. So there's this thing I called kinetic molecular theory, I think. That was when I showed you this thing that I call the graph. That graph that shows you the proportion of molecules that have a certain amount of energy at a certain temperature. Oh, darn it. And I just lost my context here. Hold on one moment. Ah, yes. Why did the volume change? Okay, because this is the part we haven't talked about yet. The speed, the average speed that a molecule travels is proportional to temperature. So that is a statement. Actually, speed is a better word than velocity because velocity is direction. So speed that a molecule travels at. Is related directly to temperature. So yes, as temperature decreases, then the energy that the atoms or molecules of a gas have to bounce into a container decreases, which would cause a decrease in the pressure of the container. But the container's flexible. So this whole thing I wrote before explains what happens then. The balloon's going to shrink until the pressure equals itself out again. So we did a lot of the heavy work here to explain what's going on. Let's fill in the story. So when the balloon is placed in the freezer, the average energy of the atoms or molecules drops. I'll say particles. That's what I started doing in lab this morning. So if that drops, that would result in a drop of pressure in a balloon. since the balloon is a flexible or variable volume container. It will decrease in size until the pressure is equal again. Which means we've answered one part of the original question. And I know you might be still writing, so I'll come back in a moment, but if I can show you the original question again. What will be the size of the balloon and the pressure inside the balloon? So now coming over here. The pressure inside the balloon when in the freezer. Will be one atmosphere. And again, if I'm sticking to the small number of sig figs I gave us, 1.00 atmospheres. But now we get to the other part of the question, which is calculated. What will the volume actually be? We know it'll be less. What will it be? Questions before I move on to the math. All right, just making sure everybody still sees me or hears me out there, right? Everybody's awake?
Yes.
You're not just binge-watching your favorite shows, right? Okay.
Wait, I thought he couldn't see us.
Okay. So, Section 1, you already saw this morning, so but Section 2, this is new for you, or anyone who didn't happen to be at lab this morning. So, this balloon, supposing that the balloon is a mythical perfect material which would never allow any molecules to escape. So, assuming... the balloon does not allow any particles to escape. The number of moles inside the balloon is constant. All right, so please take your screenshots. Because now we'll move on. Okay, so if the number of moles is not going to change, but the conditions can change, then we end up with this. Let's say we have the warmer room temperature conditions. And then let's say we have the colder freezer conditions. The ideal gas law equation will still be true under both sets of conditions. So let's rewrite these equations where we put the stuff that can change on one side and the stuff that won't change on the other. Now, I already identified R as being the gas constant. So it's a constant. And I already just said that if we're pretending this is a perfect balloon, number of moles is not going to change. So in both cases, this value is a constant. And so that lets me put the two equations together. P1 V1 over T1 equals P2 V2 over T2. And this is the general case equation. Let's see, if it is a closed environment, would that mean that the pressure would equal to zero? Could you explain a little bit more what you mean by closed environment? And if you mean that there's no gas that's going to escape or come in, well, no, the pressure in the balloon will always equal to what the pressure is on the outside. It's just the number of moles won't change. So if you need to, go ahead and throw another question to the chat window. Sorry if I didn't catch that quickly enough the first time. So this is the general case equation, meaning that any set of conditions of pressure and temperature and volume. I'm sorry. Now here comes the question. It means there's no heat being absorbed or released in this process. Let's not talk about that right now. Because that will get us into thermodynamics and that will hurt. We have a whole chapter coming up on thermodynamics. So you asked a perfectly valid question that I'm totally going to sidestep for the moment. Okay, so in relationship to this problem, we're going to change this equation because in this problem, pressure doesn't change. So P1 equals P2. Whoop. Whoa. How did I? Ah, there we go. And that means we could rewrite the equation. We could simply say V1 over T1 is equal to V2 over T2. Now, what that also means, to write it in another mathematical form, is that the volume is proportional to temperature. If you're not familiar with that symbol, it is proportional.
Professor, I think the screen's frozen.
Oh, thank you. I will fix it. There you go. So if you didn't see that before, there's the rewritten equation because we're going to say that we don't need pressure anymore. And then here's what I was saying about proportional. It looks like an alpha sign. And I'm going to sound like a horrible chemist. I don't remember if it's Boyle's or Charles or which law it is, but it's one of the historical developed laws where someone noticed that, yes, as you change the temperature, the volume of a balloon or other such object would change. Now, what if we wanted to really solve Boyle's law? Thank you. Okay, what if we really wanted to solve the problem? Well, we got all the numbers we need because V1 was what? 1.00 liters. Uh-oh. There we go. So this is 1.00 liters. And then what was the temperature? Well, 25 degrees Celsius, which to 3 sig figs is 298 Kelvin. then we're going to solve for V2, but what's T2 going to be? Well, it's negative 10 degrees Celsius, which is 263 Kelvin. So solving for V2. V2 is equal to T2 over T1 times V1, which is going to be 263 divided by 298 times 1.00, which, give me a moment here, 263 divided by 298, oh wait, have my calculator set wrong. One moment. There we go. 263 divided by 298 is going to be equal to 0.883 atmospheres to 3 sig figs. Well, so there we go. Let me go back to page one, because this whole thing started out with me talking about different types of problems I wanted to do. So we spent a heck of a long time talking about this balloon, and now we have the answer. It's going to shrink because the molecules lose energy, but the balloon is flexible, so the pressure inside and outside the balloon is always going to maintain itself. And because of that, if the pressure doesn't change, then the volume is going to change. And we now have a way to calculate what the volume is going to be. Now, since I spent so much time talking about the balloon, I did run out of time to talk about the box at all. So we're going to have to talk about the box next time. But that's okay. Are there any questions before we end lecture for today? Shouldn't the answer be in liters? Yes, because your instructor's not paying attention to what he's doing. Because it's been a long couple of days, so yes, it's liters. Thank you. Can I go back to the second slide for a moment? There you go. Okay, so if you didn't hear the announcement, I am going to have office hours. Today's Wednesday, so I believe that means 5 o'clock. It's going to be by Zoom still. I will get these notes posted to the class website as quickly as I can. The method only works with objects of changeable volume. Yes, so we're going to talk about fixed... Well, no, the general equation works in any case. But we made a specialized equation for when the pressure stays the same. So this is a case where it's constant pressure changing volume. We'll look at some of the other problems on Friday.